a chapel before, or all sorts of beautiful spaces. I'll go in for half an hour early and set up, because restorative yoga needs a lot of props, so there'll be bolsters and blankets and blocks. So I'll make sure that's all sorted, and I usually like to teach the class by candlelight to make it more relaxing. So I'll light the candles and make sure it's the right atmosphere, really nice and calming. My classes are usually about an hour long, so it'll be quite a quiet class. I usually allow people just to have their own experience and have more of an inward focus, so there's not too much of my talking or people talking to each other. It's much more of a sort of personal experience. So that will last for an hour or so, and afterwards I'll give them maybe a herbal tea to take home and just tell them to have a nice bath and take it easy and hopefully have a really good sleep.
Stuart Leach is planning to open her own retreat soon. A retreat is a period of time when a person goes to a quiet place for prayer and thought. The word retreat can also be used to describe an organised event at which people can do this. Listen now as Stuart Leach talks about how she got the idea for the retreat.
My boyfriend and I are going to set up a retreat in the southwest of the UK. This all started a couple of years ago when we went on holiday to Dorset. And we were staying in these beautiful log cabins, very rustic and off-grid, so there's no TV or anything. And we just had such a lovely experience there. So we'd get up and watch sunrise, and also just in the evening sit out on the like beautiful deck that they had and go and like walk around barefoot and just have this lovely, very natural experience of being in the countryside. And I think from that moment I thought that I would really like to be able to wake up in the morning and see the sunrise and just have a deeper connection with nature, which I think sometimes you can miss out on in the city. So the retreat itself is going to be made up of a few differently designed log cabins, and they'll be open for people to come and stay in on holiday or just for the weekend, but also open to groups who want to do their own retreats there. People maybe might want to do singing retreats or writing retreats, and obviously I'd love to do some yoga retreats there too.
What has literature got to do with soccer? Apart from all the biographies of famous players, there doesn't seem much. Nevertheless, both fiction and football are extremely popular and serve as entertainment to countless fans. In this month's Britain Today, Colin Beavan wonders if writers couldn't improve their game by following some of the rules of football.
Rules for reading. Where would English football be without players whose names sound like mineral water? Überkinger, Perrier, Volvic, Apollinaris. I'm sure they all played for Chelsea last season. Managers are no different. The current manager of our team here in Southampton really is called Pellegrino. Are we talking about football or a drinks menu? I hope the word current is still accurate. Managers so often lose their jobs. A bottle of non-sparkling mineral water usually has a label that says still water. What about the manager of a non-sparkling football team? He's lucky if he's still manager. Life is no easier for managers in the US. The sport may be different, but American football is just as unforgiving. There's even a day at the end of the season when clubs like to fire their managers. It's called Black Monday. British clubs are happy to fire their managers on any day of the week. But there is one event that the UK has taken over from the American calendar, Black Friday. This is the day at the end of November when there are even more special offers in the shops than usual. The idea is to generate a bit of Christmas shopping and to increase footfall in shopping centres.